It's wonderful to be here today to see all of you. Glad that Gary and John are feeling better and able to be here. It's nice to have Bryce home this weekend, and appreciate everyone's presence. Hope you're getting ready for the holiday season that's coming up. You know, we all live in a very convenient homes these days. We rely upon the connection that we have with our power grid that enables us to walk over to the wall and flip the switch, and we are able to set the temperature to whatever is comfortable. We can go into the kitchen and put something in the microwave oven. We can flip on the television. We can listen to music. We have so many comforts and things of life that make our lives very enjoyable and very comfortable from day to day. But every once in a while, as we saw this past week, there are storms that can come and suddenly knock out our power grid. I think Matt and Melissa were without power for, what was it, Matt, 2 or 3 days? How long were you out? How long? 2 days, okay. Was anyone else affected in the storm this week? We were fortunate. We had some big trees in our neighborhood that were blown down. But it didn't affect our power. One morning we did have a little short, brief outage, but it came right back on. But anyway, when that happens, we're suddenly made aware of how much we depend upon these sources of power in our life. I know there is concern among energy experts about the reliability and the adequacy of our power grid across the nation. What would happen in a military attack or some type of even earthquake, or are we really prepared? But nevertheless, when the power goes out, suddenly our lives change. And we have to get out the candles. We have to sit in the dark. We don't have access to the weather. We don't have access to the news reports like we normally do. We can't maybe get on the internet and go about our daily life in the way that we would like to. It's hard to realize, but it's probably only been 100 years or less that we've been living this way. If we go back to our parents, my grandparents, for example, when they went to church in northern Arkansas, when my dad was growing up, they had a horse and buggy and a team of mules. And it's not been that long ago that people did not have the conveniences that we have. How did they get along without those things? We read about the Apostle Paul and Barnabas this morning, that they are traveling up through Asia Minor and walking from city to city up through the mountain passes. And Paul being stoned and getting up the next day and walking over 35 miles to the next place to continue preaching. How did they do those things? We often wonder, how could you get along without a car, without the television, without all of these devices that we have? Well, maybe we're not supposed to be quite so comfortable. Maybe it's not really that good for us as a whole to have so many conveniences that we get so accustomed to that we forget, you know, we could get along without these. We do not have to have them in order to survive. It's good for us to be able to be reminded of that from time to time. But possible that we, some of us, have a power shortage in our spiritual lives? That is the question that I want us to consider this morning. Are there things in our lives where we actually sometimes are not connected to the power that we need to be connected to? I'm talking about the power of God in our lives. Times like, does this ever happen in your life that when we are in church, you say yes to the Word of God, but in your life, you say no? Are there times when you have trouble making the decisions that you need to make as far as your spiritual life is concerned? That you know there are changes that need to be made, but you can't seem to bring yourself to make that decision and change the way you're living to the way you know God wants you to be living? Is it a characteristic in your life that sometimes you don't feel close to God? Sometimes that you don't feel connected to worship. Worship feels dry to you. The church feels dry to you. Even though you're here physically, and you look around sometimes and you see other people singing and they're smiling and they have the joy in their life, and you think, what's wrong with me? Is something missing in my life? Do you get irritable and moody when there's no reason for you to be doing that? You get impatient with people. Do people get on your nerves a lot? Don't have much patience with people, even those in your own home, in your own family. And how much of the spiritual fruit is actually present and visible in your life from day to day? Things like love and joy and peace and kindness and long-suffering and goodness and self-control. Well, if any of those things are true in your life, I want to suggest you may be suffering from a power outage in your life. Maybe you've lost connection with the source of power that you need to be connected to. We all understand that, you know, we can take out the keys to our car and feel confident that I can get home, but actually this key does not have any power in it. This key is not going to get me anywhere unless I can make the connection to the engine, because that's what's going to drive the car and enable me to travel where I need to go. Same thing is true in our lives spiritually, because unless we have the power of God connected to us and will continue to drive our spiritual lives, we suddenly have a power failure. And we are weak and we are helpless and we struggle with all sorts of problems in life that God could be able to give us the strength to overcome. Because it's in His power that we need to be living our lives. And oftentimes, it doesn't happen because we've allowed that connection to slip. We read this morning in Luke chapter 24 that Jesus promised His disciples before His ascension to tarry in the city of Jerusalem, and they would be endued with power from on high. Power from on high. That is the word dunamis in the Greek language. And from that we get the word dynamite, but this is actually not best illustrated with dynamite. It is more accurate to say a dynamo. That God and the Holy Spirit and Christ in our lives are a continuing source of power. The difference between dynamite is that dynamite triggers a blast that lasts only for a short time and may do tremendous damage. But a dynamo is a continuing source of power, such as what we have in our power plants. Big, huge generators that are running and sending that power through the lines to our homes. That's the kind of power that God is promising to us. That if we are His people, we are going to have that connection. In the first century, it was through the apostles. It is now through prayer and through His Word that we still have that connection to the power of God in our lives. We're told in Acts chapter 1 in verse 14 that the disciples, when Jesus ascended into heaven, they returned to Jerusalem and continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, this power came down from heaven. And the early church had its beginning on the day of Pentecost. But it's possible, as I say, that you and I are struggling in our lives today because we've lost connection with this source of power. So we need to get connected. And we need to stay connected, and we need to take advantage of the resources that God supplies to us to enable us to be people who are connected to Him, to His power in our lives. So that God is able to supply the strength and the guidance that we need to be able to overcome the strategy of Satan that would defeat us. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, Paul said, "To Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is ours. But we have to have a connection with God in order to receive those blessings. And I'm going to suggest again that prayer is one of the avenues, is one of the important avenues that enables us to be connected to God. Now we see that the church is also a vital part of that in God's purpose for our lives. That it is through the church that God is glorified. And that tells us that when we are come together this morning, this group of people that is assembled in this room today, God is glorified through the church. Through you and I. When we are combined together and operating as a congregation, we are able to glorify God. God receives glory through the church here. We may not understand that. We may not seem that it is even possible that you and I can be able as a collective body to bring glory to God. And yet that's what the Scripture tells us. That is why the importance of the church is so great in God's plan. For us to come together and work together in one accord, to carry out the will of Christ, to follow and teach and practice and share the Word of God, the words of Jesus Christ, the inspired Scriptures with our friends and neighbors in this community. God will be glorified and is glorified. Now, in order for us to be people who are connected to God in prayer, the Bible tells us that we must first humbly call upon Him and acknowledge our need for Him. That takes a direct acknowledgement from us to God. I need God in my life. I cannot make it through my day without His presence and without His strength. In Luke 18, Jesus told the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee who went into the temple And the Pharisee prayed, Lord, I'm thankful that I am not like these other people in here, that I fast twice a week. I do everything just as you would have me to do, Lord. I'm thankful for that. But the other tax collector said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He acknowledged his dependence upon God. He said he went down justified rather than the other, for he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humility is an essential requirement of acceptable prayer to God. We find that prayer, when we are connected to God, we are able to face tough problems in our life, no matter how difficult they may be. Because we're not alone. We have God helping us face those problems. In James, the first chapter, and verse 5, James says here that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Prayer is an act of faith on our part. Prayer works because we realize that we have faith in God, who is able to do all things. We're not able to do all things. When a difficult decision comes up in your life, how do you decide what you should do? We need wisdom to make that decision. And where do we get that wisdom? We get it by going to God in prayer. But in going to God, we must ask in faith, nothing doubting. In other words, as Hebrews 11 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have faith in a God that we can't see, but because of that faith in God and the trust we have hope that no matter what problem comes up, even if I grow old and die, or if something takes my life unexpectedly, I have a hope of an eternity that is secure with God. And no matter what problem I have to deal with in life, I can go to God, and He is all-powerful. He will hear my prayer, and I can have peace and assurance that it's being taken care of by God. In James 5, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man of like nature with us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Why does James bring this example up, unless to show us that we, like Elijah, have access to the same power of prayer that he had access to, and that God is there available to help us? But it's not only you and I on our own personal level that need to be people of prayer. We need to be a praying church. Like the early church was a church of prayer. And we are impressed as we study the record of the early church how much mention is made of that fact. In Acts 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued steadfastly, they continued daily in a way of life that put them in contact with God. And prayer was a big part of that in their lives. They were people of prayer. Their leaders were given to prayer. And a church needs to have leadership that is constantly devoted to prayer, that it is a constant priority among the elders and the deacons of the church to be men of prayer. In Acts 3 and verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They did this every day. They went and prayed to God on a regular basis. And in Acts 6 and verse 2, when a problem arose with the widows, what did they do? It is not desirable, they said, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. That was their priority, praying and teaching the word of God. It wasn't outside concerns, even though they were men who had families and they had wives and children and other concerns, but their priority of their life was the welfare of the church, the welfare of the disciples. And that was through prayer. In Acts 11 and verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So whenever we are a congregation of prayer, we can be confident of the fact that God and His hand of blessing will be with us in what we are attempting to spread His word and to build up and strengthen the body. God's hand will be there, His blessing. It said, when Barnabas came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that with purpose of heart they should continue. Why? Because they were people of prayer. They were people who were in the Word. They were people who were diligent in the life of serving God. And God was blessing the effort and the work that was being done. And that was evident. So we should be able as a congregation, it's important that we be able to sense God's hand and His blessing in what we are doing. We're also to be praying in each other's homes. In Acts 12 and verse 5, when Peter was arrested, it said, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when he was released, he came to the house of Mary, where many were gathered together praying. The disciples were engaged in diligent prayer on a daily basis. And God was with them. The great encouragement for us all is the knowing that God the Father will respond to our prayers. That time and again in our own congregation, when we go to God in prayer and diligently humble ourselves before God, God answers those prayers. In Acts 2:47, the Lord added daily those that were being saved. In Acts 4, when they prayed, they received strength and boldness to speak His word. In Acts 6 and verse 7, the word of God multiplied and the number of disciples grew mightily. And in Acts 12 and verse 5, the Lord brought deliverance to Peter when the church prayed for him. And so it will be. Are you all following me this morning, what I'm saying? The point that I'm trying to make is this. We cannot succeed as a congregation if we lose our connection with God. We are not going to have a connection with God unless we are a church of prayer. No matter how much we teach the Word, no matter how many songs we sing, unless we are connected with God, we have no strength as a congregation. If we pray as we should, that congregation will always be secure. God's hand will bless us in the work we do. The church will grow. The church will prosper. And the same is true in your life and mine. The same is true in your family. That are you struggling with prayer? Are you struggling with discouragement in your life? Are you struggling with some kind of health issue? Some kind of other problem that you're dealing with? Make sure that you are connected to God. Be plugged in to the power source by humbling yourself and calling upon God And isn't it wonderful that we don't have a God that puts us on hold? A God that takes a message and says, we'll call you back when we have time. Isn't it great we don't have a God that says, could you please repeat that for me? I didn't quite understand what you were saying. We have a God that is tuned to listening to our prayers, anxious for us to call upon Him. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So we need to be plugged in to the power of prayer. Will you stand together as we stand together and sing the invitation song? And let's all become and be a people of prayer.
Hold the gods that are changing.